All right, welcome back, everybody. We are at the just past the 8 p.m. Eastern hour here, and as soon as my guest sets back down in his chair, I will introduce him. I have Vinnie Eastwood on with us from RealGorillaMedia.com and also the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Hello, Vinnie.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Todd. Nice to be here.
Yes, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's great to have me, too.
It's great to have myself.
Yeah.
In an age where we're owned and born as slaves into a debt slavery money bank system on birth certificates with the vaccines jabbed into your veins from birth and getting forcibly circumcised with birth trauma and being forcibly indoctrinated in high school and primary school and kindergarten and all of that, actually having yourself is quite rare.
Yeah.
That's right.
First question right off the bat, Vinnie, what do you think of my background? I get a lot of good compliments on it, and I've only had a couple, two or three kind of negatives there. But
I don't know. I think I'll have to do a background check on you to find out.
Okay. Well, we're avid hunters and avid Second Amendment advocates here. So,
there's nothing like a bunch of decapitated heads on your wall to make a man feel manlier.
That's right.
I mean, Vlad the Impaler. You know, he had it down, yo.
Right. He's actually, I think Steve is related to him.
No, just, I'm not going to go there, but.
Well, if you look into Steve's background, Vinny, he was actually at one point charged with being a serial killer of deer.
No kidding. Was he, what about elk? Do you ever kill elk or, you know, because apparently there's a Canadian terrorist cell called Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda, yeah. No elk, just a couple of moose and some deer and some bear and rabbits, squirrels, all them little fuzzy critters that a lot of people love.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it, you know. Man, it's so fuzzy and so cute. Let's shoot it.
I know. Where's the sense in that, right? I think you're referring to LCIADA.
LCIADA? I don't know. I don't think that means the database.
Yes, indeed.
But anyways...
Well, look at the definition of terrorism for a second here. Look it up in the dictionary. If you looked up terrorism in the dictionary, it's fascinating. It's a system of government. Like, it's right up there next to communism, fascism. I mean, that's how you know what a system of government is, because it's got an ism, you know? Like a Vinnyism.
Right, exactly. That's right. Yeah, you can lead a population anywhere through fear.
Yeah, and that's what terrorism is. It's a governmental system designed to make people afraid into doing the government's bidding. Holy frack!
That's right.
We're living in a terrorist state.
That's right. Yeah, you can use force. They use force upon the people, but they tell the people they're not allowed to use force.
Yeah, I mean the Jedi wouldn't be happy with that.
Well, you know, Vinny, until I get my own personal guardie or a police officer or TSA officer, I'm gonna protect myself. So,
yeah. But then again, if you did have your own TSA officer, you'd want to protect your crotch,
right?
That I was just gonna comment on that, because you know how you can tell whenever he gets a TSA, you're gonna know because he's gonna be walking funny.
Yeah, I mean the Mexican immigrants don't like it. They call them the TSA.
That's right, exactly. Yeah,
very good one. But before we brought you on, Vinny, Todd and I were speaking last night. He actually did his very first show on his own. I was unavailable, and he took the stream, and he had a sheriff from the state of Delaware, Sussex County, Delaware. His name was Jeff Christopher. And Sheriff Jeff Christopher of Sussex County, Delaware, is in a fight for his job. Actually, probably a fight for American sheriff's rights and powers here in America. What the state of Delaware is trying to do is, by legislation, take away all sheriff's powers away from him and Delaware being such a small state, there are only three counties in the state of Delaware, and there are only three sheriffs and however many deputies that these three sheriffs have. And he's actually in a Delaware Supreme Court fight right now. That's right. He was going to be his court date was tomorrow, or it would actually be today for you, but tomorrow for us on the 11th, Todd, didn't he say?
I believe so, yeah. I think he said it was the same date as 9/11.
Ironically, yeah.
So yeah, he's going to court where he's going to have all his rights and abilities as an American sheriff taken away from him on September 11th, day that they're voting whether or not to invade Syria.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah,
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. I mean, it's reality is truly stranger than fiction. I mean, this guy, you know, one of the things I was telling Steve earlier is that if this guy, you know, if they're allowed to set this precedent so that a state can strip a sheriff of their powers, then they're really setting the stage to do a lot of dangerous things and to really take over. Right now, we have a chance to stand with our sheriffs and to preserve freedom and liberty. So hopefully, you know, this thing will prevail on his side.
Well, the American sheriff are virtually an endangered species, unlike a lot of representatives who are elected. They've actually got kind of real power.
Right.
And as a result, that real power that they're granted by being elected means that they can actually have almost domineering rule over the counties. This means that if a politician is corrupt, the sheriff is the only one who can go and arrest them. It means if the feds are coming in and trying to point guns at people for selling raw milk in violation of their constitutional rights, the sheriff is the one who turns up to defend them with his freaking guns.
Yep,
that's right.
And Sheriff Richard Mack has been traveling the nation for quite some time, attempting to instill back into the local sheriffs this indeed responsibility. They are the front line in the effort to restore the republic, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Sheriff Mack's name did come up as you just explained in last night's show, and we will be having him on the 20th. I'm sure that is one of the main subjects of what our talk will be with Richard Mack. And also, you happened to mention raw milk and a sheriff, and I'm actually going to have that sheriff on also, Brad Rogers from Elkhart County, Indiana, northern Indiana. We're having him on October 7th, so that ought to be pretty interesting. And they are all friends. They all know each other. Brad Rogers knows Jeff Christopher, and Brad Rogers knows Jeff Christopher and Richard Mack and many, many other sheriffs. They are all teaming together. They are all talking. They are all learning. They are all standing up and asserting their rights and state-given powers.
Yeah, recently, I don't know if you heard, Vinny, but recently we had a sheriff here in the state of Florida down in Liberty County, which is South Florida. A sheriff by
something,
the name of...
Whoa, Liberty County? I smell some irony coming.
I know, right? Exactly. Liberty County, you think. But Sheriff Nick Finch of Liberty County was arrested with the backing of Florida's Governor Rick Scott for defending the Second Amendment. Basically, what happened was a guy...
I was right.
You can't make none of this up, Vinny.
Well, it's just like my general belief structure is whatever seems official, it's probably the opposite. So Liberty County translates literally as Tyranny Central.
Yeah, right.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I mean, when you consider that the state is ruled by, you know, the guy that arrested him, Governor Rick Scott, I mean, we have, you know, the state of Florida, you know, much like many other states, are turning into prison camps, essentially. But this guy, there was a guy in his jurisdiction, in his county, Liberty County, that was arrested for something to do with his concealed weapons carry or something to that effect. And so the sheriff, Nick Finch, determined that, wait a minute, now this arrest was not a legal arrest. This was not constitutional. So what he did was he let the guy go. And the Governor Rick Scott said, oh, no, we're not going to have all this, you know, freedom and liberty stuff going on and defending the Second Amendment. So we've got to arrest that sheriff and put him in his place because freedom and liberty is evil.
Yeah, well, again, everything's – we live in an opposite world, do we not? You know, like everything's a contradiction.
Yes.
And this is what I find very interesting is when a lawman – gets arrested by the lawless.
Yeah. Once again, irony.
Uh-huh. You know, there's more irony in the United States than there was shipped away from the World Trade Center before the fire department could take a look at the metal. And the element within the United States that I believe is causing all of this is multifaceted. You know, it's the New World Order. It's the Federal Reserve Bank, really, at the core of it. You know, that's when America was taken over. Okay, previous to that, you had 10% economic growth, no taxes, liberty, freedom, justice for all, no forced public schooling, so on and so forth. Federal Reserve Act comes in, boom. World War One comes in, boom. And then, before you know it, after 100 years. A Federal Reserve rule. You're taxed so badly that you can barely survive. You're so uneducated that you can barely think. And you're so enslaved that you don't even know what freedom is anymore.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Give us a little bit of schooling, Vinny. When did New Zealand and Australia become under the control of the New World Order?
Well, you know who Cecil Rhodes is?
Sure.
Okay. Cecil Rhodes, for those of you who don't know, had a bunch of wills, and he was the wealthiest guy, like in the British Empire, you know, Zimbabwe used to be called Rhodesia after Cecil Rhodes. He was that frickin' rich. All the mining, diamonds, that kind of thing. When he died, he had 7 wills. And those wills, only one of which is made public, that's called the Rhodes Scholarship, were to set up a secret society to advance the aims of the British Empire. So, the New World Order was in control of New Zealand as soon as the British Empire arrived.
Right.
That's pretty much it. You know, from day dot, from the founding of your nation, that is the seed of tyranny. And recently, it's kind of like heating up, and people are starting to see it. I don't know if they're starting to see it on grand enough numbers, and more to the point, I don't think grand numbers matter. What I think is just a small number of determined individuals who see what's going on and taking personal responsibility for the safety of their nation. That's what I believe is the most important factor. The masses never wake up. The masses have never mattered throughout the entirety of history. Every single revolution that has ever been fought by less than 5% of the population. American Revolution beat the British Empire, the largest, most sophisticated war machine in the entire world at the time, was beaten by less than 3% of the population. Okay,
that's right. That's right. Yeah, we got together, and you know, got our, you know, our, the colonials got their pitchforks and their muskets and their, you know, whatever else they could grab, and said, "Hey, let's do this." You know, they're not going to come over here and take our guns and tax us and everything else.
Yeah, and yet that warrior spirit, that fighting spirit, has been drummed out of people over time because they're born into a system that is specifically designed by social engineers to limit creativity, to limit independence, to maximize herd mentality, to maximize dependence on government. That is what the whole Declaration of Independence was about, because at the time, at 1776, everybody was really independent, you know? There were no government handouts. If you lost your job, you're fracked. You know, you had to go stay with your family or something of that nature. You had to frickin' take care of yourself. And if you didn't know how to take care of yourself, you had to learn or you're gonna die. And the mentality now today is everybody owes me something, okay? The media would tell me if there was something wrong.
Right.
The government would, the government would never do something like that.
Right. Of course not.
So they teach you, this is why we live in opposite land, is because we've been taught the direct opposite to the truth from frickin' birth.
And it's unbelievable. Well, I cannot hear it.
There is.
Well, what you're talking about there, Vinny, is that is a type of WMD. That's a weapon of mass domestication.
There is there is one thing that our esteemed puppet of the United States did tell us true in late 2008. He did say he was going to, what were his words? He was going to systematically change the way America was going to be become, or I don't think it was systematically. What? That was another word.
He was going. I think he said something along the lines of he was going to fundamentally
change. That's what it was. He was going.
Yeah, he puts the mentally into fundamentally. Doesn't
exactly
right.
Exactly. Yeah. He. Yeah. He changed.
And he has
it
fun
right.
while doing it. Hence.
He's having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And in New Zealand nowadays, okay, like you take the United States, you take what you know about the United States, about its public education system, its draconian legislation, its ridiculous taxes, and its BS, and its violent police officers and everything like that. You don't know nothing about New Zealand, right? Then you take that template, that exact same frickin' New World Order template, you apply it to New Zealand, it fits like a glove. All right.
That's right.
This
sure.
is the reason why I know from the evidence that we're operating under a global system is because all the laws in New Zealand are mimicking those within the United States. All the laws in the United States are being mimicked by those in the UK, are being mimicked by those in Australia, are being mimicked by those in Canada. The entire English-speaking world has the exact same legislative drip feed, essentially.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, they're all being run by the same – all these countries that you speak of, they're all being run by the same banking cartel.
They all have private central banks. In New Zealand, you go down to the Reserve Bank of New Zealand building. It's right next to Parliament building, mind you. And what is on the wall right behind the front desk? Take a guess.
Cameras, maybe?
A giant red shield.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Red shield. Rothschild.
Red shield in German means Rothschild.
Rothschild, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Vinny, why do you think they took all of the westernized world's weapons, like Australia, New Zealand, England, Scotland, UK, Ireland? Why do you think they took all of their weapons first? And
let's look at its historical context.
Come after America's first.
Let's look at a historical context. Can you name me a country in the entire world that has had its weapons confiscated off its people and only been armed government and police that hasn't wound up in a tyrannical extermination campaign?
Well,
they don't frickin' exist.
Right, yeah.
Because whenever you take the people's weapons, they have no defense against a tyrannical government. And that's the reason why a tyrannical government tells you to hand in your guns. And there are all these different methodologies for doing so. I mean, you take Armenia, for example. You ever heard of the Armenians?
Oh, sure.
Probably not, because they all got exterminated. Hand in your guns. Women, hand in your men's guns and tell us where your men are so that we can keep them safe. And then they hand in their guns and then they shoot the women, get the information off of them first where their men are, and then go off and exterminate the men who are now unarmed. Okay?
That's deception
to kill you. Okay. Here's the mentality.
That's right.
And this is why people don't understand it, is because they don't share this mentality. I am a ruthless, psychopathic, control freak killer. I hate freedom. I hate liberty. I hate independent thought. I hate creativity. I hate independence. I want everybody to be under my thumb, my jackboot, my freaking laws. And I will not follow my own freaking laws because I will be the master and commander of everything.
That's right. Yeah, they hover outside the very system that they've created for us. The laws and the rules are only for the slaves. They create this slave camp for everyone else, and then they kind of just orbit around that. They exist outside of that, where none of the rules, none of the laws apply to them. They can do whatever they want. You know, they can go over and bomb women and children with their drones halfway across the world, and then the President of the United States stands on the graves of the Sandy Hook children saying, oh, we need to take your guns because we have to keep the children safe, and oh my God, the poor children. Meanwhile, they're picking up pieces of children halfway across the world that he just ordered bombed.
Mm. And of course, he doesn't mention in his address to the nation saying that, oh, we need to take people's guns to keep the children safe, that there were a number of other attempted school shootings in the United States that year where the gunman got shot before he could even squeeze off a round because there the teachers were armed.
There you go. Exactly. Well, it's the same thing I was saying, Vinny. I mean, we have all these shootings, right? We have theater shootings, school shootings, you name it. And the people lay there like sheep to the slaughter. The only thing they can do is pick up their cell phone and say, hey, come help me. There's someone shooting. And meanwhile, they're all being slaughtered. If at least one person had their own gun to say, you know what, I'm taking this guy out, they could have either saved everyone's lives or at least kept so many from being killed. But you know what? It's better to just lay there and be slaughtered. If you have let's say you have two different malls, right? Two different shopping centers, and you're going to send a guy in to go burglarize one mall. And you tell him, okay, in mall A, no one has a gun. Okay. None of the shoppers, there's no security people with guns. There's not one gun in that whole entire facility. Now in mall B, there may be one or two people that have their own guns, but they're concealed. You're not going to know where they're at or who it is. Which place do you think psychopaths and sociopaths are going to go to?
Yeah. Criminals do prefer disarmed citizenry, and people don't understand that although there is over 11,000 deaths caused by guns in the United States every year, that guns in the United States are used to prevent up to 200,000 violent crimes. Okay?
Right. Oh, that's
the freaking statistics of it.
We can't talk about that, Vinny. That's evil, man.
Yeah, John Lott, more guns, less crime. This guy has done some incredible analysis of gun control legislation. Can you name me a place in the United States or even anywhere in the entire world where guns have been banned where the murder rate went down? They don't freaking exist.
No, it doesn't happen at all. But
all right. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, you got your cell phone. You're going to stab somebody with a knife phone. You know.
You know what I'm going to do, Vinny? I'm going to blind them with the flash on my cell phone camera.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like a flashbang cell phone. And yeah. here's the most interesting point that I think was brought out by John Lott is the experiment in Israel. In Israel, previous to suicide bombers and so on and so forth, Palestinian terrorists use AK-47s to massacre civilians and so on and so forth. Now, Israel at the time was wondering, how exactly can we prevent these mass attacks and so on and so forth? You know, they're targeting shopping malls, they're targeting just residential areas, you know, they're all over the place. What they said was, okay, let's put a trooper on most corners throughout the city. Okay, that'll be very discouraging to terrorists, right? And what they found was the trooper will be standing there, always looking around for something to happen, and then when he rotates his shift, that's when the terrorists attack because he's out in broad daylight. They can see him, so they're on the advantage. So then they said, okay, well, that's not working overt military policing, so let's try concealed carry permits. And what they found was there was a massive uptake within Israel of concealed carry permits. A lot of elderly Israelis women and so on and so forth in particular would be arming themselves with small revolvers and so on and so forth. And after this happened, there was an incident at a shopping mall on a Monday afternoon, you know, not too many people around, you know, most of them are at work and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of the elderly there. And these three Palestinian terrorists walk in with AK-47s and they start opening up on the crowd. And they were very, very surprised because the crowd opened up and fired back.
A bunch of old women, wasn't it?
Now they bunch of old women. Yeah. They've pulled a revolver out of their purse. They'd been taught how to shoot. They fired straight, killed two of them, wounded the third one. Ambulance arrives and they pick up this third guy and he's apparently really beside himself. Nobody told us the old ladies would have guns.
Yeah. Hey Vinny, I got an interesting statement from one of the two chat rooms. Somebody would like to know what maybe the impact on guns and the gun ownerships in the country of Switzerland. Would you happen to know anything about that? Or
in Switzerland, every single household, to my knowledge, has an automatic weapon in it.
Yes.
There have been no burglaries in Switzerland for decades. Not a single home invasion. You know why? Because you don't invade a home if you know that you're going to get automatic weapons fire as your welcome committee.
And I believe they actually have a law, too, in that country that these automatic weapons have to be properly hid. And the police will have to come in every homeowner's house and inspect and try to find these weapons. And if they are able to find these weapons, the homeowners will get fined, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, yeah. No. They actually require them to have weapons. And that all stems back from when Switzerland, in its very early days, the people that lived there were worried about people from surrounding countries or territories coming in and trying to take their stuff. So, but yeah, that proves the point.
Well, not just take their stuff, but overthrow the entire government and the country.
Well, right, yeah, taking their property, everything. Yeah,
I think that's kind of inclusive in people's stuff.
Right,
exactly. So, you know, that goes to show, it proves, once again, when you have a well-armed population, people aren't going to, not only the government, but other people in the population are not going to be tempted to go rob their neighbor or rob someone down the street or in the next town over.
Right. Here's another historical context to you. People think that Nazi Germany discriminated against Jews, and sure enough they did. Okay, but the first group of people that it became legislated against weren't Jews at all. It was homeschoolers. Why would they do that? Well, back in the pre-World War I, the Empire of Prussia developed a thing called public schooling. And what they found was very interesting is that they were capable of taking children away from their parents who previously had been the source of knowledge and integrity and examples to follow. And now they had a group herd mentality that they could instill on children in a government-sanctioned and mandated schooling system. And they found out that when Prussia went to war with France prior to World War I, that Prussia had a massive influx of soldiers who were ready, willing and able to obey every single command, and the French had nothing like that,
right.
And they got the pants beaten off them.
Yeah,
in Germany,
mindless robots.
The first group of people, mindless robots. Yeah, yeah. So in Germany, the first group of people to be discriminated against were homeschoolers. So everybody wound up getting indoctrinated, and the very last group of people to get legislation passed against them were gun owners.
Yep. Yeah, that's
so
right.
There you have it. That's the thing that happens before your country turns into a complete tyrannical police state where your people start getting exterminated is when they take the guns. It happens in history over and over, and there is no escaping from it. There is no arguing with it. If you take the guns, the government turns tyrannical, the people get exterminated. End of freaking story.
Well, look at all these.
That's right.
Look at all these videos.
They're demonizing homeschooling over here big time. I mean, if you're a parent that tries to homeschool your child or children, you're gonna get demonized big time. They're gonna find different ways to they'll fabricate different ways to be able to come after you in order to create avenues to criminalize you. It's just ridiculous.
Well, look at all these videos, Vinny. Anybody can pull up on YouTube a video. One, for example, is two or three thugs walk into this little gambling casino type thing in the state of Florida, and they have little hand pistols. And I think it was like a 74-year-old man. He's way off in the back corner. He pulls a little Derringer or a 38 special out of his little fanny pack and goes after the two or three guys, and they just go running. So the point is, crooks and criminals don't want armed people. They want helpless victims.
That's right. Yeah, and that wasn't too far from me, actually. It wasn't too terribly far from here. But, yeah, exactly. And that brings up a good point, Steve. When you say crooks and criminals, you know, that can be the government, that can be the federal government, the state government, or it can be
individuals
out on the
street. What do you mean can be? It is.
That's That's what I've been saying.
Right, that's my point, yeah.
That's what I've been saying for weeks, Todd. What does the criminal look like? You know, does he does he shave his head, have tattoos, wear his pants down around his ankles, or does he does he wear a $3,000-$5,000 suit and work in a high-rise building? You know?
Oh, I call him. I call him. That's right. Exactly. I call. You know what I call him? I call the politicians and the government. They're criminals in suits and conservative haircuts.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is the main deception that we have to deal with here: is that everything that we were brought up to believe is a lie. Okay. So the government is looking out for your best interests. It's a lie. The government adds fluoride into the water to be good for your teeth. It's a lie. The right. media tells reports on stories with fair and balanced news coverage. It's a lie. The public education system is there to educate people. It's a lie. It's there to indoctrinate them. The military is there to protect the nation. It's a lie. It's there to basically keep the nation in line if things got out of control, and also to secure reserves and resources from other nations that won't give them to you through fair trade.
That's right. Well, I always say if our military, Vinny, was fighting the true terrorists, the real criminals, they would be here at home fighting the federal government and the state governments.
Yeah, well, and the federal government and the state governments wouldn't have any defense if the military were actually there serving the people rather than the government. And this is something
right.
that I've tried to define within myself. So I'm a patriot. I love my country. You guys can relate to that, right?
Sure.
Okay? It doesn't mean I love my government, okay?
That's
it
right.
doesn't mean I love necessarily the land or whatever. It means I really just love my people, and I value their freedom, and I'm willing to sacrifice my life in order to ensure that they still have it for future generations. I don't care about the people today. What I care about those that are yet to be born, those who will inherit what is left when I'm gone.
Right. Well, particularly if you have I don't know if you have children, Vinny, but, you know, myself and many other people have young children, and, you know, we don't want them to wake up in a you know, as the saying goes, we don't want them to wake up in a land that their forefathers had conquered, and they're going to wake up as slaves in a land that their forefathers conquered. I mean, that's ridiculous. People have fought so hard. I mean, we're talking about, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, you know, over, you know, freedom and liberty, so that, you know, people like myself and Steve and yourself, you know, so we can have some level of freedom and liberty and freedom to choose and freedom to, you know, do whatever we please as long as we're not, you know, harming others. And our children are going to wake up one day, you know, my kids and anyone else who has children, they're going to wake up to no future. They're going to have nothing.
Hey, Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been given permission to tell you a general statement. There's a listener that says he has a reliable family source that in Australia, and I'm sure any other country too, the Israeli Secret Service regularly enters Australia with Uzi machine guns without any problem from customs other than a nod sheepishly in acceptance.
That's called diplomatic packaging.
Right.
It's great. Have you ever seen the movie From Paris with Love with John Travolta in it? It's great. He's in the interrogation room, and he's yelling at these French customs people who are telling him that he has to show them his bag and everything like that. He's like, frack you, frack you, frack you. You know, I don't care. I'm American and so on and so forth. You know, you can't do this to me. And then his friend who's there to DM, he says, okay, I've got a solution to this. And he pulls a sticker out of his bag and he puts it on the guy's bag that says diplomatic. And then takes it out and he goes, you know, he's like, oh my God. And that's actually the law. If you are a diplomat, you can bring in anything.
Sure.
Anything.
Sure.
Okay?
That's right. That's right.
And this is how they do it. And indeed, the law in New Zealand has just been changed. Police aren't allowed to pull over certain vehicles. For example, police aren't allowed to pull over ambulances. Police aren't allowed to pull over parliamentary limousines that the Prime Minister might be driving in. And now they've changed that law so that now they can't pull over foreign or New Zealand military vehicles.
Yep. Well, I know for a fact that in the state of California, here in America, that there are currently I believe it's over 9 million vehicles registered in the state of California that are not allowed to be pulled over and done anything with. So that just goes to the extensiveness just in one specific state.
Mm. Yeah, now, that's indicative of being well on our way to Nazi Germany again.
And everybody throws up Nazi Germany. And what I found very interesting about the socialist left in New Zealand is that whenever you put up a reference to what's happening now is like what happened in Nazi Germany, they actually remove your posts. And I was just like, whoa, hold on a second there. Why would socialists who are allegedly against Nazism, which is socialism, by the way, pull down references to Adolf Hitler and comparative legislation to what we're passing now? So the Homeland Security Act in the United States, there was a similar piece of legislation passed in Nazi Germany, you know, to protect the homeland, you know?
Well, that's right.
And you can't make that reference, of course, because, oh, everybody's saying everything's Nazi these days. Everything. Look, here's the unfortunate truth of it. Everything is Nazi these days. It never changed.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
But they didn't lose World War II. They just changed venues. It's like, you know, comrade, I don't think that people like this communism anymore.
I know. People don't like fascism either. You know, what we could do is instead of calling ourselves fascist or communist, why don't we call ourselves free and independent? Oh, yes. Right. Why don't we call ourselves liberal and conservative? Oh, yeah, now you're getting it.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Yes.
Huh, okay.
Hey, Vinny. Some scumbaggery.
I got to make an announcement for the MSI listeners. Everybody needs to know. I'm not sure what's going to happen with it, but Ben Gilroy in Ireland was just arrested tonight and won't be released for another 30 or was just released 39 minutes ago, I believe. Not sure what the details on why he was arrested, but Ben Gilroy in Ireland is one of the biggest liberators of people from being evicted from their homes and just downright tyrannical ways of the Irish Gardaí, as they're called over there, or the police, as they would be called here in the States. But he was arrested earlier today.
Well, that's why he was arrested, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you just told everybody why he was arrested. I mean, come on now. You can't have freedom and liberty. Don't you understand? That's evil.
Right.
He probably also happened to mention the Israeli army, and he probably got arrested for that, too.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's being held until Friday. He hasn't been released yet. My mistake.
Shiite Muslim.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, how many of your friends are currently in jail?
I don't have
for
any.
For political activism. I've got one. My friend Vince Seamer, and he's been in jail like twice before. And what he does is he exposes court corruption. In New Zealand, there are no court records. They don't record the court sessions.
Wow.
So it's a court of record without a record.
Wow.
That's convenient.
Uh-huh. And they literally just make the laws up as they go. It's the most corrupt court system in the world, according to Vince, because of this fact. And also, most high court justices and district court justices are related by blood. Okay? So out of 180-odd, you've got about 150 that are first cousins. All right? So you try going to the high court to say this judge is corrupt, I need that person to be deposed, and you're dealing with the person's cousin. You try and get, I mean, it's like they're supposed to be independent, right? Our Supreme Court, okay, they threw out the Privy Council. The Privy Council is where you go, you know, it was like the highest court in all of the empire, and they threw that out and they built an $8 million court building for 8 court justices, okay? 2 of which are a husband and wife. And you're thinking to yourself,
there you go, that's their honeymoon suite.
It's the law of the land, baby. That's the thing. That every time they destroy a country, the New World Order and so on and so forth,
They always do it legally. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Have you noticed that just because you're doing something legal doesn't mean you're doing something moral.
Moral.
Doesn't mean you're doing something ethical. Doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. It just means what you're doing is legal.
Well, look, here in America, we have over 16 million laws here in America.
16 million?
Yeah. In all 50 states. In all 50 states.
Yeah. Well, Vinny, that's why we have the highest... We have the highest prison population in the world by far.
I mean,
we beat out China by millions. Yeah, we beat it. We beat out China by millions. We have a government that, or you know, I like to call them the powers that be, because we have powers that also that are controlling our government, that are the Oz behind the proverbial curtain, and they're just creating a situation where. The country is turning into a giant prison complex. And so what they're doing is, by passing all these laws, they're making it impossible to exist on a daily basis without breaking one or two or three laws, so that they can then create as many avenues as they can to criminalize people, to get them into the privately owned corporate prison complex, so that they can then access your SESKV account. They can then force you into slave labor, and have you do, have you make, whatever they want you to make for 25 cents an hour or what have you.
Now, imagine this. I think Ayn Rand mentioned this over 50 years ago, that laws are getting passed in the United States at such a rapid rate that you won't even be able to wake up in the morning or take a breath without breaking half a dozen laws. Okay,
that's right.
And that's the real truth of it, isn't it? And what happens when the majority of the population are in prison? Who says the majority of the population aren't already in prison of some form or another? Who says that this entire planet hasn't been turned into a prison by these so-called powers that be?
A virtual prison. Right.
Prison planet. Yeah, it's a prison planet. Well, these countries...
Now, speaking... going back to Vince Seymour, we were protesting outside the prison to let him in. He was turning himself in, and they wouldn't let him in to prison, even though he was sentenced to prison. And this is so ironic, it was really weird. And we're having this argument with these prison guards or whatever, and they go, "This over here is the prison, okay?" And I was like, "Hold on a second, are you saying the rest of the country isn't a prison?"
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And he's just like shaking his head at me. "Oh, you smartass." It's just like, "Of course I'm a smartass. Are you saying that you're different to me? Wouldn't that make you a dumbass?" "Well, yeah, working for a prison, so I don't know. Maybe influences. Come around you. You are who you associate with. You're only associating with criminals that are dumb enough to be caught and stuff like that. And that's your job, isn't it, bro?"
That's right.
Well,
that's
very logical. They're really smart criminals. They just got a lot smarter back.
No, the real smart criminals own the prison.
Right. And they're in them $5,000 suits, and they work in Washington D.C. and London and Paris or whatever.
Suits and conservative haircuts, Steve.
Auckland. I'm sorry, but.
Part of the reason why I've started wearing a suit during my shows and so on and so forth is because of the brainwashing capacity of it. Okay, well, think about this. All right, what's this around my neck? These?
Collar.
It's a collar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What are these around my wrists?
Cufflinks.
Cuffs? Okay. And what's this? It's a tie, right?
Tie.
So I've got a collar around my neck, cuffs around my wrists.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me.
Tie like a leash.
Don't tell me. I know. You have the appeal
people
to...
People think that I'm free.
You have the appeal to authority, so your information is more presentable than mine is. No?
Who cares?
You're right.
I just wear the suit because I get to tell people that and get them to think about it. You know, this is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Exactly.
This is the costume, okay? Wearing a suit and a tie, I call it urban camouflage.
That's a good one. That's good.
Can't be seen.
Hiding in plain sight.
You look the same as everybody else, don't you?
You're just another one of the corporate robots, baby.
Mm-hmm. And so
when they see somebody in a suit and a tie and with hair product and so on and so forth coming out and saying the New World Order and conspiracy theories and chemtrails and you're fracked and gun control is BS and so on and so forth. It does not compute. Hopefully, it'll jar some people out of their perception of reality that has been created for them by people wearing suits like mine.
That's right. You hit the proverbial nail on the head there, Vinny.
Mm-hmm. See, this is just my experiment because I like to be a very ironic individual. Almost everything that I do connotes hypocrisy. All right, and history invariably makes hypocrites of us all anyway. So I figure, frank it. Why don't I just embody hypocrisy?
That's right. Know? That's right.
At the same time as wearing my slave monkey suit, I'm preaching freedom.
That's right. Well, have you ever seen that movie, Vinny? It was made back in the 90s. It was called Tombstone. It had Val Kilmer in it, played Doc Holliday. One of my favorite quotes from that movie is Doc Holliday says, it appears as though your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Well, actually, my favorite Doc Holliday quote was, you're so drunk, you're probably seeing double. I have two guns, one for each of you.
Yeah, I love that one. Yeah, that was great. He goes, the guy says to him, oh, it's the drunk piano player. You're probably seeing double. And he's like, I've got two guns, one for each of you.
So, what I find interesting about movies, I was thinking about have you seen the film Demolition Man?
Quite a while ago.
All right, and this is actually one of, I feel, in terms of New World Order propaganda and what the system might look like in the future, you go back and watch Demolition Man again. I mean, seriously, it's actually an incredibly well done film. Very, very sophisticated in the way that it's put together, especially for an action film. And you've got the future. People aren't allowed to swear. They actually get fines if they swear. Music and meaning and feeling, sex, kissing, everything outlawed. They're only allowed things that are basically for weaklings.
That sounds a little bit like 1984, really.
Yeah. Well, things it's all the same kettle of fish, don't you know? Look, if anybody thinks that there's creativity left in Hollywood, they're freaking kidding themselves.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. How many sequels have we come out? I can think of like about 20 trilogies off of the top of my head. True. You know, that's how little creativity there is. They use the same story, same characters, same this, same that, and then the other.
Look at all the singers today.
Say, oh, it's a new thing.
Look at all the singers today, Vinny. How many people have their own material? They, besides for the American country music artists, they are the ones that write their own music.
I write my own music.
Sure. Play a guitar, piano, whatever it happens to be. And you get the celebritard.
Oh my god, that's a brilliant word. I love that.
Retarded celebrity. A celebritard.
Steve, you never pulled that one out of your pocket.
I trust our president. Yeah. I think we should just get behind him and support that.
Right. Thank you, Brittany. You are the political commentator for the stars.
They have no talent. They don't even write their own music anymore. All they need is a pretty face and to be able to dance, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, dancing with the stars. Oh, God. Look, the only stars that those people should be dancing with are the kind that will burn them to a crisp in a nanosecond.
That's right.
Exactly.
You remember back when Brittany shaved her head, I couldn't tell if it was Mr. or Mrs. Spears.
Maybe it was Randy Spears.
Yeah.
You're probably not familiar with that, are you?
No.
Okay, he's...
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute when the phone starts ringing. Randy Spears, you know, hold that thought. Hold that, Randy Spears.
Steve operates a phone company in his spare time.
Yeah, well, just think of the name and then think of what his actual occupation might be. Randy Spears.
A pornographer?
Yes.
I just have a dirty mind. I got that really quickly. Yeah, right. Scarily quickly.
Sorry about the phone,
yeah,
everybody.
You know, those of you who are listening on radio, my eyes are dodging from side to side. Yeah.
Somebody told me I
porno music playing in the background. Hold on.
Somebody told me I didn't really know it either myself. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good, gentlemen. Welcome. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, celebrity culture. And you know what's been very interesting is that people come into the truth movement and they think that they're past all that. You think that because you're out there and you're fighting for truth and liberty that suddenly all the other people around you are honest, truthful, decent people as well? Hell no. They drag that stuff of their past life into this movement with them. There's so much deception, misinformation, scumbaggery, lying, rage, accusing people of things that aren't true, paranoia, so on and so forth. Everything that we feel is wrong with society has followed us here. Noticed that?
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
People have still got that baggage. I've still got that baggage. And I'm trying to work on myself on a daily basis, you know, trying to just, you know, forget all this stuff. All right. It's like, okay, stop being materialistic. Try to be original. Try to be a good, decent person. This is what I've tried to be my entire life. And I have failed. You know, and it's only once you can admit that you failed that you can actually try again.
Well, it's hard to break the deep conditioning. You know, you're talking about, and I've mentioned this before on the show. You're talking about a global population that, for the most part, is living in acquiescence through as a result of very deep cognitive dissonance. Because they live in a world that is based on cultivated ignorance. So you have, you know, it's very hard to break that. It's very hard.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take you to get indoctrinated into kindergarten, high school, college, university, and postgraduate study? It took you like 25 years or something like that? And you think that after a couple of years of watching documentaries and listening to shows like this that you're all of a sudden cured? Hell no.
No.
It's going to take you another couple of decades, you know? Yeah. I'm considered to be one of the most highly prominent and onto it talk radio show hosts in this country in terms of this form of content. And I admit that I know nothing, that I have a hell of a lot of ground to cover between where I was being a selfish, arrogant, full of myself salesperson to being a real symbol of freedom, liberty, and hope. I have a long way to go yet. I'm on my way. There ain't no friggin' denying that. But I'm not there yet. And it's kind of like my reach exceeds my grasp. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be able to determine what's true and what's false just by looking at it. Just by instinct, you know, I want that kind of a skill, kind of like how a soldier can take a rifle apart and put it back together, blindfolded kind of thing. I want to know truth by feel.
I think what you're talking about there, Vinny, is basically sharpening your sense of discernment. That's what, you know, that's what you need to do. That's what we all need to do.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Todd, Vinny, what do you do for a break? Do you put commercials on or just a song or?
A little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, frankly.
Okay. Well, we're at the first hour here, and I got a message from the administrator, and I thought I might take it. And then, I actually messaged him first, and I'm going to see what his response is. And I thought maybe we'd come back in a little over 5 minutes, and we might do a little something different. I'm not sure. I'm going to check the message. But if we don't do a little something different, we'll just go back to the show.
All right. Sound
like
no worries.
About a 5 minute break.
I've got to run and make one more coffee, and then I'll be good for one more hour.
All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes then, ladies and gentlemen.
See you then.